everyone. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. Bubba Jenkins and Greg Wilson are on their way. What's up, guys? Hope you had a great week. Oh my God, how crazy was 190? We're going to talk all about that. We also have Lauren Murphy on her way. Before that, I want to introduce our sponsors. So, you're an MMA fanatic and proud of it. You know all the fighters. You watch all the matches. You're listening to an MMA podcast right now. Well, guess what, guys? It's time to put your knowledge of the sport to the test at DraftKings.com, the exclusive daily fantasy sports partner of the UFC. At DraftKings, you can win huge cash prizes every time you play. Just select five fighters, stay under the salary cap, outscore your competition, and you could be on your way to a massive payday. Score points for significant strikes, takedowns, advances, knockdowns, and more. These are the biggest daily fantasy MMA contests anywhere. And only DraftKings has them. Now, play to win your piece of the $1 billion in prizes DraftKings is giving away this year. Do not miss out. That's $1 billion. Now, hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code ROASTED to play daily fantasy MMA for free this weekend during fight night. DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy sports partner of the UFC. Enter ROASTED to play for free now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. Also, listen, guys, you guys like making money, right? I do. Well, here's a really cool opportunity I have to share with you. Driving with Uber. Uber is that popular smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. I take Uber a bunch. I love taking Uber. And in chatting with the different drivers, how cool is that? Great conversations. Well, some of them have really interesting stories as to why they drive with Uber. Trust me, on the way over here, I took an Uber. And I talked to this guy. This guy was cool as hell, okay? He told me all about his life. This dude was the man. So why do guys drive with Uber? I'll tell you. They love being their own boss. They earn great money. It's easy to start. You just need a car and a license. Driving with Uber is great for anyone who needs flexibility. Parents, this is a really easy way to work around your family schedule. Students, you can make some extra money between classes. Now's the prime time to cash in driving with Uber. You'll thank me for telling you how to get paid every week. Trust me, I want more money. You want more money. Now look, I could be getting into your car when you drive with Uber. So, you've got a car and a license. Put them both to work for you and start earning serious, life-changing money today. Sign up to Drive with Uber. Visit drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Drivewithuber.com. Also, fighters. Fighters want to get paid more. I want fighters to get paid more. Well, now, thanks to my boy, Bubba Jenkins, the brand ambassador, Tip a Fighter is here, and now you could tip a fighter. Exactly. You like the way a guy's fighting? You think he deserves more money? I'm sure he does, or she does. Listen, go to tipafighter.com or at tipafighter on Twitter. It's not charity. It's 100% pay for performance, rewarding fighters for exceptional performance. Majority of fighters are not paid enough to call it a profession. I know fighters who are AAA drivers. I know fighters that are teaching cardio fitness classes. I know fighters that are driving Uber. Okay, listen. So now we can actually make a change right now. And fighters, you got, I don't know why you're not jumping at this right now. Your value at highest is the moment you wow the fans. We want you to maximize your benefit financially for that moment in real time. The length of a fighter's career is uncertain. You never know how long you're going to be fighting for. It could be 2 years, it could be 10 years, it could be 5 years. So make as much money as possible while you're doing it. Now you'll discover who your real fans are. They're an independent organization, not affiliated with any promotions, agents, or gyms. And promoters, you should get on this too. Your fighters are making more money and you don't have to pay them. It's going right from the fans. So to go to tipafighter.com. Also, American Icon Autographs has the best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events. Their website is AIASE.com. They have signed collectibles from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, movies, and everything else in between. Their past signings include Mike Tyson, Cheech and Chong, Dan Henderson, Hoyce Gracie, Hulk Hogan, Burt Reynolds, Ernie Banks, Paige Van Zandt, and more. Check out their website to see who's signing next. Go to their events, meet the celebrities, build your man cave. That's www.aiase.com. Also, has your business been vandalized with graffiti? Have gang members destroyed your storefront? Call the professionals at Remove It Restoration. They remove all kinds of vandalism. They restore etched windows and get your business back at a fraction of the cost. Look, your business is very important. Don't leave it in the hands of the amateurs. No. Call the graffiti and removal team at removeitrestoration.com. That's 1-888-424-9697 or go to removeitrestoration.com. My boy Eric, super cool guy, sponsors fighters, great fighters like who? Roxanne Modafari. Okay, this is the guy you want to go to, this team. So, how's everything going, Bubba Jenkins?
Everything's good, man. All smooth.
You look tired.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm just working out and grinding. The weekend, didn't get the rest as much as I wanted. But
yeah, your wife was so excited about the podcast and put you to work.
Absolutely.
What'd you do this weekend?
You know, just hung out with the family. We went to the beach again. Had a good time there.
Nice.
And we had a couple church events that I went to.
Really?
You gotta get you some Jesus, man. Gotta get you some Jesus.
You gotta get me some Jesus?
Gotta get you some
Really? Jesus, how many church events do you have to go to this weekend?
Well, I went to one on Saturday where we had a church without walls. We basically went to one of the biggest parks out here, and we had church in the middle of the park while people were looking at us, kind of crazy. But it was a great time. We had food. We gave away some groceries. We, you know,
really
brought the homeless out and gave them some food. It was a cool event.
Such a good guy, man.
I just try to be.
Were you always
like
this?
What I can be. Yeah, man. Always.
Really?
And I'll always be like this. I pride myself in staying the same guy that I was back in third grade. I still have the same phone number that I had in fifth grade.
Really?
Same phone number.
Fifth grade.
Since fifth grade.
Look at you, man.
Balling in fifth grade. I had a cell phone. I used to play a little snake game.
I just got back from St. Louis.
Yeah, how was that?
I was doing comedy. It was great, man. The road audience is the best.
I like the Mizzou, man.
I was in Illinois.
Yeah.
And I was in Fairview Heights, Illinois.
Okay.
I asked somebody, I go, what should I do here? The guy goes, leave. the crowd was actually, the crowds were good.
Yeah.
It was some fun. Me and the girl who I was sort of dating broke up.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't good. Because you know what, when you're single, you date three or four girls at a time, right? Is that what you were doing back
yes,
in the day?
Absolutely.
And then you got to figure out.
I wouldn't say I was dating them at the same time.
You were sleeping with three or four.
I was hanging out with.
Hanging out with three. Come on, we're not in church. You're not giving out food for the homeless. You could just be honest.
Right.
So eventually you got to pick one, right? You have to. And the one was like, she was the girl in the lead. She was like the horse. She was like ahead of the pack.
The one you called most often.
What?
The one you called most often.
She was the one. So I was ready to actually go, and you know what? Maybe this is the one. But then she asked me, she's like, am I the only girl you're sleeping with?
Mm.
And I got to be honest.
It's always a hard question to answer.
Right? Because we didn't have that we didn't have that talk yet. So I wanted to tell her, listen,
that
you're not the only girl I'm sleeping with, but you're the only one that I'm sleeping with without a condom. Which I thought she would like that, because that would mean hey, you're in the, but she fucking flipped. She said, what?
Absolutely.
But then we still hooked up afterwards. I got back. I was like, come on. I was actually trying to say, I'm being safe.
When you're trying to get in the relationship, you should try not being so honest.
Is that what it is?
When you are in the relationship, that's when you want to be most honest.
Yeah, but then I'd have that on my conscience to be like, well, I lied to her in the beginning. And
man, the beginning, the first date, second date, the beginning, when you're hanging out, it's all about lies.
Really?
That's what it's about.
Is this what the people tell you at church?
This is not what they tell you at church.
Really?
This is what Bubba J Pimp Line Status 1-800 Pimp gives you, okay? This is what we're breaking down right now.
Bubba J.
In the beginning, it's about confusion, deception, and getting what you want.
I didn't know this, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So I should have just lied.
Your daddy should have told you this stuff back in the day.
Fuck. My dad was stoned. He wasn't around. He was he was betting on actual horses. Wait, so I should have lied and said you're the only girl I'm sleeping with?
Yeah, not until you get into a relationship where you both have an understanding. Okay, it's me and you, nobody else, and that's when the truth starts.
I fucked up, man.
Yeah, because then at that point, if they're backing out from when you're starting to tell the truth, from then if they're backing out, then they shouldn't have been there to begin with, you know. But when you're, I wouldn't say, I would just say when you're creating deception in the beginning, it's just smooth to be like, you know what, yeah, you're the only girl I'm with, yeah. And then when you get with them, you'd be like, if she asks that question again, then you can, you know, make amends for all the stuff.
Bubba, I needed you, man. I needed the little Bubba doll.
Yeah.
You know, the little angel.
Yeah,
I needed the Bubba.
I've helped many a man in their relationships these days.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
I'm a shoulder to cry on.
So So that was crazy. Crazy week. You hear about the Drake Meek Mill rap feud?
I've been hearing about it, yes. I haven't heard. I heard the first diss that Drake has put out. I heard the Meek Mill diss that that started the whole feud about him on Twitter. I went to see that. But I did not hear back-to-back freestyles, which I've been wanting to hear.
Oh, it was great.
I heard it was really good. And I just been following, you know, the kind of feud they've been having. But it's not really a rivalry, you know. It's a feud. It's a beef. But it ain't a rivalry because it's one-sided. In Drake's favor, you know, and
well, yeah, but Meek started it.
Yeah, absolutely, he started it.
I mean, he was upset that Drake didn't promote his album on Twitter, which is like the lamest 2015. Really, like this is like
he's getting what I would like to call Ja Rule 50 Cent. After 50 Cent hit Ja Rule with all them bars back in the day, it was over for his career.
Yeah.
You never heard no more
but
Murder,
But Ja Rule didn't start with 50 Cent. I guess it was Ja Rule's manager tried to, like, take out 50 Cent and shoot him. And then Ja Rule supposedly didn't even know about it, according to him. And then he just kind of was like...
Followed up.
50 was like, I'm taking out your manager. I'm taking out your best guy. Boom. Meek Mill was upset that Drake didn't promote him on Twitter. And then he says, all right, you don't promote me. You didn't promote my album on Twitter that I was on. You know what? You're not writing your own rhymes. Which I guess is a huge deal in the rap community, not writing your own lyrics.
Nah, only to some people. It ain't really that big of a deal because there's many a good artist. You know, it ain't just about putting the pen to the paper. You know, there's a lot more to rapping than just putting, you know, being poetic.
When you were rapping back in the day about wrestling?
See, yes. When I was back in the day, when my manager was talking to me about beats and tracks, I was on the streets spitting my own rap.
You were a real rapper. I've seen you rap before at, like, wrestling events.
Yeah, man.
Now, were you serious about being a rapper?
No. One, that event was for the kids, you know. It was, you know, a lot of people have heard me rap before as far as, like, you know, just hanging out with the friends. And, you know, people were like, oh, he's actually pretty good. And then it grew some legs that I wasn't, you know, I didn't make them grow no legs. They grew them legs themselves. And, you know, then people started wanting me to, like, do a camp event, seminars, and then have a little rap at the end kind of thing. And I was like, all right, you know, I'll do it for the kids. You know, Bo Jay love the kids.
So you weren't, like, thinking about becoming a rapper, though?
No. If I was going to do anything, it'd be, like, reggae music.
Reggae music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can carry a tone every now and then.
Don't you have to smoke weed to do that?
No, you don't have to. You don't have to be a pothead to be a reggae artist. All right.
I know. Did you smoke weed back in the day, but you haven't smoked weed in a long time, right?
Man, it's been so long.
Do you miss it?
I miss winning more than I miss you know, hitting the joint every now and then, you know.
Right.
But for the most part, it's about the sacrifice that you're willing to make to get that belt.
When you were wrestling in college, you smoked back then?
I'm gonna call dodgeball on that. Dodgeball. They're gonna be looking up my old matches and my old records and be like, you know what?
Wait, you ever smoked before a match?
Man, I've been burning for a long time. I would say that, you know, back in my heyday when I felt like I was invincible, and I'm not going to say college, high school, or anything like that. I'm just going to say there were times where, you know, I did bust somebody's ass when I wasn't in my right frame of mind. That's
wow.
For sure.
That's
I bust
that's
a lot
skill.
Of ass back in the day.
You beat Jordan Burns Stone? Jordan Burroughs?
No, I can't say that. Can't say that.
All right. Okay. All right. So listen. So anyway, so Drake came back, just absolutely obliterated Meek Mill.
Right.
Meek Mill came back, had nothing for him. It was like, it was sad. It was almost like you calling out a fighter that you think you're going to beat and the guy just runs through you. It's just like, ugh.
Oh, that's about to happen real soon to this dude named Jordan Parsons. He's been Meek Milling it up.
Yeah.
And I kind of been on the quiet end, you know, doing my little Drake thing. And I'm about to hit him with these back-to-back freestyles that, you know, he ain't really ready for. And Bellator need to go ahead and set that up because I'm trying to beat Jordan Parsons.
So who is
ass.
This guy, Jordan Parsons?
Man, that's the thing. He's a nobody, you know. Like I told him, my guns weren't even aimed at such a low target. You know, if you're in the sport, you call out the number one contender, you call out the belt holder, you know, you call out those people. You don't look at a list of, you know, five good guys and then call out number five or look at number 10. I mean, you don't, you call out the number one guy. That's what you're supposed to do to promote it. This guy was just, you know, bored, I guess. And he was like, oh, I'll take Bubba J's scalp home to mom. I'm just like, first of all, it's a corny line. Second of all, you're not
a scalp home to mom.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a corny. He's corny as hell. Second of all, he used to be a fat boy. You know what I mean? So it's like, yo, I was born a lion. I look like a lion. I'm always going to be a lion. You can't be a hippo, then turn into a sheep and then now think you're a lion. You used to be a fat boy. Go sit down, eat some Cheetos, go relax. You know what I mean? Because you don't want it with me. I'm telling them. So, you know, hopefully.
Who's this guy beating, though?
Nobody. He's got no names on his list. I think that's why he's hunting right now.
Right.
He's trying to put a name on his list.
What camp's he out of?
I'm not sure. I think he's out of Alliance. I ain't creeped on him just yet. When they put his name on the line for me to go hitman him, when Bellator sends the hitman out like myself, and they put his name on my plate, then I'll start creeping on him. I'll be on his Instagram. I'll be creeping on him, dog.
So we got to talk about UFC 190. You watched it?
Now that I know it's part of my occupation, yes, I watch it.
Do you like better watching this stuff, or is it getting you more into it, or no?
No, I like watching it. I like watching. I record them, and I like watching them closer to my fight because it gets me to analyze it a little bit different. When I'm not preparing for a fight and I'm watching it, it's entertaining in the sense, but I'm not critiquing it like I probably should and like I would if I was fighting soon. So, but I still love watching them.
So okay, so we're gonna talk to Lauren Murphy because she can't. You know who Lauren Murphy is?
No, I don't.
So Lauren Murphy is ranked number 9 in the UFC at 135.
Okay.
She'd be a great girl for Tip of Fighter.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to her. She's got some story, this girl.
Yeah.
Some story.
You got to love a background story, man. You got to love a story. It ain't about just, you know, stepping in the cage and knocking people out. You got to have a road to getting to that point.
Yeah, and I think if more people knew who this girl was, she would be a star because this girl didn't start training anything until 27. Never played a sport in high school, wow. Never played a sport in college, and is now ranked number 9 in the UFC.
That's a different type of athlete.
Lost to two girls, lost to Sarah McMahon, very controversial decision.
Yeah.
Like, I thought she won that fight. I hate to say it, but I thought she won that fight. And Liz Carmouche, I thought she definitely won. She could easily be 11-0 right now. And this girl didn't start training until 27 years old.
Wow.
I don't even understand that.
Yeah, that's a different type of athlete, man.
So we're going to talk to her right now.
You
then we're going to get back. And then we're going to break down the Ronda Rousey and the Nick Diaz brawl that happened.
Didn't hear about it.
You didn't hear about that?
No, man.
Holy shit, do I got something to tell you, man.
Yeah, somebody bust Nick's ass or Nick bust somebody's ass?
Khabib yeah. And the Diaz brothers got into a brawl at World Series of Fighting.
Oh, yeah.
And it spilled out into the stands. They were fighting in the stands, and then it went outside into the... I'll show you the videos. It's fucking insane.
Yeah.
But first, we're going to talk to Lauren Murphy.
This is Lauren Murphy.
It's me and Bubba Jenkins. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know who Bubba Jenkins is?
No.
He's Bubba fights for Bellator. He was an NCAA champion, one of the top wrestlers in the country a couple years ago. Now he's at Bellator, and we're very excited to have you on the podcast.
Well, that sounds badass.
Yes, and also the Greg Wilson just walked in. Now I was actually, you know, I'm a huge fan of yours, Lauren Murphy, for a lot of reasons. Number one, I was looking through your stuff. Yeah, okay, so you're 9-2, but you could very easily be 11-0 right now. You know that, right?
I mean, yeah,
you were there.
I'm 8-2, but yeah, in my mind, I'm still an undefeated fighter, as far as I care.
Because,
well, look, that fight with Sarah, it could have gone either way. So, whatever. What people think about that fight, I won 2-1. I don't really care. I feel like it could have gone either way. But that last fight with Liz Carmouche was some bullshit. So, in my mind, I feel like I'm an undefeated fighter. I feel like I'm one of the best fighters in the world.
The Liz Carmouche fight, I may have given her the last round, but I definitely gave you the first two.
Yeah, I could see how somebody would give her the last round. I mean, it is what it is. You know, I got to take some responsibility myself, you know what I mean? Like, I should have just ran out there and whooped her ass, but I didn't, and I, you know what I mean? Now I got to pay the price, so.
I was telling Bubba about you before you got on. You're a girl, which this is to me is like, this is more impressive than I think anybody in MMA right now. I'm more impressed with you. You didn't pick up a sport until 27 years old. Like, you never played a sport. Never played any sport.
Never, yeah.
Then you're in Alaska. You're from Alaska. You go to take a jiu-jitsu class with your son. You're like, you know what? I'll do it with him because I want him to do it. And 5 years later, you're ranked number 9 in the world in the UFC.
Yeah, that's true. It's been pretty crazy. It's been a wild ride, man.
That's fucking insane. I mean, that is insane. And then, okay, so you... 3 months later, after you take your first jiu-jitsu class, you have a fight. You knock out the first four girls. Now, had you ever thrown a punch before this class?
No.
Taking an MMA class? Or?
No, not like a real punch. I mean, I used to fight with my brother sometimes, but he was a lot bigger than me, and I was always really scared of him. So it was like those little, like, don't hurt me punches, you know what I mean? So, yeah, no, I'd never done anything. I'd never, like, I didn't know how to wrap my hands. I'd never put on gloves. I didn't know how to hit mitts. I didn't know how to stand. I didn't know shit.
So then your first four fights, you just knock chicks out left and right in Alaska. Then you get into alcohol and drugs.
Nice.
I mean,
Oh, no, that came first.
Oh, wait. Okay, so that came first. So
it's Alaska. There's nothing else to do.
So you're in Alaska. Now, what kind of drugs are you doing at the time?
The good
all
kinds.
Of them. Like, whatever you put in front of me, really. You know what I mean? I was fine with all of it, so.
I mean, so you're doing coke?
Things feel different.
Like
yeah.
Coke, ecstasy?
Yeah, a lot of that, yeah. and then when not, like...
Meth?
Sorry, I was in the gym. I was, like, leaving them, like, yelling out drug names in the middle of the gym. And, it, like, Oxycontins were really big.
Yeah.
When I was using. So, and, like, they were really making a name for themselves.
Did you ever smoke those Oxys, so those or were you just... Did you ever smoke them or did you just swallow them?
Those and cocaine mostly, and then like we do ecstasy for fun and stuff like that.
Now, were you doing heroin and crack too or no?
I tried those, like, but to me, Oxycontin was more accessible than heroin.
Now you see why she jumped right into fighting.
To get my hands on that. And crack, I only did one time, and for whatever reason, I don't even know what this is about, but for whatever reason, I was like, well, I'll never be a crackhead. I was completely okay with, like, being a junkie. like, I was just too good for crack, I guess.
So okay. I didn't like crack either.
Really? You did crack also?
I did it once on accident.
Okay, so you're doing all kinds of drugs. And now, you know, like, you know what? I got to give up drugs, right? So then you become a firefighter?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, you're talking about, like, I didn't just, like, sit down one day and start doing drugs. I mean, I'd been doing drugs for a long time, like, since my teens, you know what I mean? And then...
So you held that title first.
I had some bouts of sobriety. I had some periods where I would get clean and sober, and I struggled a little bit in my early 20s. And then later on, later in my 20s, I was struggling a lot with drinking. I had finally put the drugs down, but then basically I just replaced it with drinking. So then, yeah, I started fighting, and that helped a little bit. I did a firefighting stint. That helped a little bit. And then I met my husband, and that helped a lot.
So how did you completely kick everything? Did you have to go to rehab?
I have been to rehab. It's like, I have my own opinion about rehab. I don't really think, for me, for someone like me, rehab didn't help. Rehab does help other people, and it helps a certain kind of people.
Right.
And it'll help people, like, stay in a safe place while they shake it out, you know, but for me, it's like all I ever did in rehab was meet more people that use drugs. You know what I mean?
Right. So
I got to get your number. We need to get out of this rehab place.
Yeah, she's making
you must
contacts.
Know the good stuff.
Exactly. I mean, Lauren, do you understand how amazing this is that you have, I mean, your story, I mean, Ronda Rousey has a movie coming out. It's probably a great movie, but your movie sounds fucking...
I know, what the hell?
I mean, your movie is a girl who did it, who took her daughter, her son to a class, and 6 years later, I mean, Sarah McMahon, if people don't know this, is a silver medalist in wrestling.
Yeah.
And Lauren, arguably beat her. I mean, you're fucking, yeah. I mean, you're amazing.
Well, here's the thing. Here's how I look at it. Ronda Rousey had a mom who was a world champion in judo. She was an athlete from the time she was born. Her mom took her to practices. Her mom, you know, drove her to all these competitions. Her mom helped her a lot at home, trained her, and then made sure she continued to get the training that she needed as she grew up and as she grew older. She's literally been competing her entire life. With the best in the world, you know what I mean? And she's had access to that. And my opinion on that is like, well, fucking A, girl, you should be the world champion then. You should be kicking everybody's ass because you have had every opportunity afforded to you to turn you into the champion that you are today. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She has the best of everything. She's got the money now where she can afford the best coaches. You know what I mean? Like, people like me that literally have no background in athletics, like, it's a different story. You're talking about a different story. Like, I had to claw my way to the top. So that's just how I look.
No, it's very impressive and admirable. I know. I heard that you went to the gym, and at first the guys were being complete assholes to you. They were beating you up every day. they weren't letting you do anything. They were trying to get you out of the gym, and you were like, fuck it. I'm coming back every day, right?
Yeah, that's, and I mean, that's just kind of how I am. I think a lot of fighters are like that. Like, you tell me that I'm not going to be able to do something, I'm going to work my ass off until I can do it. And it was like that in the gym. It was like that on the fire crew. It's been like that my whole life.
Now, you've also been in college for 8 years and haven't graduated.
That's because they told her she couldn't not graduate.
Wait, Laura, what was that?
I said somebody needs to hurry up and tell me that I can't graduate college, so I'll hurry up and do that.
I mean, are
probably
you taking
with honors?
I mean, what's going on there? Because I mean, I heard you trying to get like your associates. Why is it taking you 8 years
to get an associate?
Like, this girl is dumb as shit.
she has four different associates.
I was in a nursing program for a long time, and I was going to get my bachelor's in nursing, and then I got drunk. I got a DUI, and so I was dismissed from that program. And that was actually
awesome.
A lot of my schooling. That was a lot of biology, science classes, clinicals, the whole shit. You know what I mean? And so after that, I took a class here, took a class there, just kind of stay in school and work towards something. But that died off after a while, and now I'm just paying off my student loans because I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I don't know. I can't decide.
But I mean, look, how old are you? What, you're 32 right now?
Yeah, I just turned 32 last week.
Happy birthday. 32, so you've been fighting. You started training, so you've only been doing this 5 years. You're ranked number 9 in the world. You wrote a poem to Dana White trying to get you a fight.
Yeah.
Nice.
I liked your poem. It was a good poem, actually.
It was a real Cyrano de Bergerac.
I thought about coming out with a book. Like, I could just release one poem a week for a year, and then maybe, like I'll have a book, too, and then hopefully somebody will fucking buy rights to my movie, and then I'll have a book and a movie and all kinds of shit.
Do you have a fight lined up or no?
I don't. I was looking to be on that Houston card, and then my son just moved down here with us, and he's starting high school this year, and so I wanted to make sure that he had a really good transition and that we could really, like, make him comfortable and get him in a good routine and stuff. And so I thought I'll put him first and, put the fight off till later. There's always going to be more bitches to fight. They're lining up around the block trying to get in the UFC, you know what I mean?
Who do you want to fight next?
I don't really care. I don't care.
What about?
Who I want to fight? I'll tell you who I want to fight. Betch Kahea. Fucking put her in front of me. Like, whatever, her only loss is to Ronda Rousey. My other two girls that I fought have fought for the title. Why not just make it a third? I'll just fight all the bitches that fight Ronda. You know what I mean? And I'll beat them all. And one of these days.
What about Liz Phillips? What about Elizabeth Phillips?
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. I like her. She's funny. Like, she's funny and she's tough and she just fucking goes for it. That'd be a fun fight. I just want to fight somebody that wants to fight. You know what I mean? They don't run away the whole fight, or they're not going to, like, lay on top of me the whole fight. Liz is like that. Liz will just stand there and fucking swing. So that's cool.
Yeah, I honestly couldn't believe Liz Carmouche was running the whole fight. It was like, that doesn't, you know, I don't know. And what about?
Yeah, I don't really.
What about Juliana Pena or Sarah Kaufman or any of these girls?
Yeah, Kaufman would be good. Pena would be good too. Like they're all good. All those girls are tough. They're all willing to go in there and just brawl. I like Pena and I like Phillips because they just don't give a shit. You know what I mean? They just don't care.
Yeah. Now, I mean, by the way. There's a new thing that Bubba is the the spearhead of. Not the spearhead. What are
I'm the ambassador. You can call me the ambassador.
The brand, spearhead.
He's the brand. He's the brand. he's the brand ambassador.
He's the spearhead.
He's not the spear. He's spearheading. That's what I meant. Like that is the spearhead. No.
Why did that seem so racist?
It wasn't racist till you laughed like a fucking idiot.
He's the spearhead. I mean, he's the chicken seasonings. I mean, he's the guy.
So anyway, it's this thing called
the collard green. I mean, he's the jeez.
It's this thing called tip a fighter, where if I'm watching you fight, and I'm like, you know what? I used to be a drug addict. She's a drug addict. I happen to like this girl. I want to give her some money, and not just for drug addicts. But I'm saying,
but for drugs.
But if I'm saying I want to give her money for like where I could tip the fighter based on performance.
that'd be cool.
Or based on your story, you know, a tip of fighters is to pretty much help the fighter. They can tip you for whatever reasons. It's obviously not just charity. It's, you know, tip for performance, but they can tip you for your story. You know, you have a great story, as we were talking about, and, you know, you have a great background, and you're starting to kick ass now, and you know, you got that tough persona. People tip you for whatever reason, but for the most part, they tip you because they love who you are, and you would be perfect for tip of fighter. It'd be awesome.
That sounds good to me, man. Like,
all right,
yeah,
cool.
That's awesome.
I will give Bubba your info. Now, what's it like training over at the lab with Ben Henderson and those maniacs?
Oh, I love it. I'm actually, like, walking around out here in the parking lot like a fucking maniac myself. it's awesome. We have such good training partners here and coaches. It's like a fucking family. You know what I mean? These guys they're badass, and we all take care of each other, not just in the gym, but out of it, too. So,
yeah, by the way, you know, Bubba, you know, won the national title over at ASU. Hackett, did you ever go over to the lab over in Glendale?
Nope. When I lived in Tempe, I was completely focused on winning a national championship. I didn't do not one thing of MMA while I was out there in Arizona, which is, I guess in hindsight, not probably the best idea because I could have been doing both. But
yeah,
I was so focused on winning nationals and not doing anything else, so I never did any of that.
Right.
But I have had two fights in Phoenix. And
nice.
You know, Arizona's my old stop.
Hey, yeah, come on over here. You should sock Ben Henderson up. Listen, Ben does this thing, especially with guys that come in the gym, and we'll spar, and Ben puts his hands up on top of his head, and he'll tell the guy, hit me in the body as hard as you can. He'll tell that to heavyweight. He'll tell that to middleweight. He'll tell that to guys twice the size. He'll say, just go ahead, man, tee off. And so they tee off on his body. They hit him in the ribs. They hit him in the stomach as hard as they can until they're exhausted. And Ben won't even flinch.
Ben's tough, man. I've known Ben for a little bit. He has been a tough.
Sounds like dude. Ben's a masochist. You should see it afterwards in the locker room when he gets a paddle out and he's like, okay, guys,
did he tell
as hard as you can.
Did he tells his wife, blow me and bite down. That's horrible.
Use as much teeth as you want.
Now, I find, Lauren, that girls that were former addicts are probably the best in bed.
Without question.
They take all their problems out on your penis, you know.
Your poor penis.
Now, is that true? Will you confirm that?
It is true that we are the best in bed. Yes, I can confirm that.
Nice.
That seems right.
So you and your husband just do wild things or what?
Dude, we're freaks. We love it.
Nice.
How do you think she put down the drugs?
He brings out the best in me. He has always brought out the best in me. He brings out the best in me.
Nice.
A good man.
That's great.
Now, what does he do again?
He teaches jiu-jitsu here at the lab. He's a brown belt under John Crouch. And then he's in the reserves, too. So actually, right now, he's out of town. He's in Tucson doing his civic duty for 2 weeks a year.
Well, tell him.
So
tell
you got 2 weeks to, you know.
To do it for what?
I don't know. To train with somebody else.
Well, tell him.
No, I'm going to go see him next weekend. That's how we are.
Do you guys swing at all?
I don't even like it.
What was that?
Like, you guys, I don't like being gone for 2 weeks.
Do you guys swing at all?
No.
Nah, okay.
That's a different elevation of freaks.
I'm more than satisfied. One man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm more than satisfied.
Okay, you never know. You said you're freaky. You never know.
Thanks, Greg. Well, listen, Lauren.
In my mind, you're swingers.
I am a huge fan of yours. Keep up the great work. I will be a fan of yours for life. I love your story. And you are so inspiring. There are so many people out there that have had drug problems, alcohol problems, and the fact that you walked into a gym at 27 and 5 years later are ranked number 9 in the world is so inspiring.
Amazing.
To people.
What town did you live in Alaska?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What city did you live in when you were in Alaska?
Anchorage. I lived in Anchorage.
Anchorage.
Isn't that where Chilkoot Charlie's is?
I don't know.
Yeah, I've played there many times.
Did you know that?
Oh, my goodness.
Close to get down.
Oh, boy. The whole weeks are missing in my mind.
Did you ever confuse the snow for cocaine and just go crazy?
I didn't need to. There was cocaine there.
There was cocaine
there? It was surprisingly decent cocaine. I thought it'd be much easier to get weed, but I found terrible weed and pretty decent coke.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. No, I dropped cocaine in the snow one time, and that was a sad day.
Boy, that's a tough one. That's a sad day. You're like, I don't know, just somebody melt the rest of it and see what's left.
Yeah, I know.
Someone get a lighter. We'll snort whatever burns.
Well, thank you, Lauren. You are amazing. Where can people follow you?
I'm at Lauren Murphy MMA, and that's across the board, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of it, Lauren Murphy MMA.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot, Lauren. And Bubba will be contacting you about the tip of fighter.
Appreciate it, Lauren. Thanks for your time.
Awesome. Sounds great.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
All right, that was Lauren Murphy.
How was I not engaged to her over a 36-hour coke binge? I have no idea how that didn't happen while I was in Alaska.
What a great story, huh? Oh, by the way, Bubba, this is Greg Wilson.
Hey, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Greg Wilson is one of the funniest comics in the country. I've been knowing him for 15 years. Hilarious. Okay. This is Bubba Jenkins.
And you clearly went to Arizona State.
Yeah, you know, I'm all ASU'd out every now and then.
Yeah, no kidding.
I got a rep.
So Bubba is a national champion wrestler who fights for Bellator right now.
That's awesome.
He's got a record of 10-2.
9-2.
9-2.
But you're right. You're prophetic. It's soon to be 10-2.
And he's a future champion of Bellator, hopefully a future UFC champion.
That's right.
Keep preaching. You're doing
that's
well.
Right.
You're doing he's very well. There.
And he's the spearhead.
He's the brand ambassador for Tip a Fighter, which, by the way, go to tipafighter.com, TIPAfighter.com, or at Tip a Fighter. Guys, fighters need to get paid more, and now we have a solution.
Okay? No, I think it's
put
great.
It into the, I'm the totally hands behind it. Of the fans. Also, Remove It Restoration. Has your place been vandalized? Have gang members destroyed your place? Go to 1-888-424-9697 or removeitrestoration.com. Also, American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com. They have the best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events from the UFC, WWE, football, baseball, and more. Now, how was your weekend, Greg?
It was pretty good.
What'd you do?
Had some good shows. I was over at the Comedy Store. I was at the Improv. I was having a lot of fun. It was great.
Nice. I saw your Periscope for the first time.
Yeah, I was Periscoping. I was getting drunk at the beach. We went to the beach and somehow wound up at a bar.
Who's that? That was you and your girlfriend?
No, that was just a friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
My girlfriend was reading a book at the beach, and me and my buddy, we went off to the bar and we're getting smashed.
Yeah, so you drunk at noon.
Yeah.
Now, you had a show that night, right?
Yeah.
How did you manage to do that?
Well, it's real simple. You get something to eat, you take a little disco nap, you'll be ready to go.
Okay, disco nap?
Yeah.
By the way, so UFC 190, let's talk about that. Ronda Rousey looked fucking amazing.
Look unbeatable at the time.
She looks unbeatable.
She getting to where her hands are as good as her judo.
That's what blew me away.
But do you think, though, some people were saying on Twitter, if she does this against Cyborg, she's going to get, it's a different story.
Yeah, well, every fight.
She doesn't have to.
You can only do that in hindsight. It's like, well, you do this, I mean, if you wrestle a wrestler, it's going to be a different fight than if, you know, you come out and you box a scrapper. You know, it's like, she obviously has a game plan for each fighter. She doesn't just come in there and just be the same person.
Right.
That's a stupid comment. You
right.
know what I mean? Oh, yeah, she does this against Cyborg. Yeah, she did it against Shaq. She'd look obviously different. You know what I mean? What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
She had the Clubber Lang strategy this time. What's your prediction?
She was trying to street fight her ass.
This wasn't
like, you know, okay, let me put the ones and twos together. She's like, bitch, she was talking too much shit about Pops, you know, and I have a deceased father, so I know that. You go there, that's a core that, you know.
Yeah, there's rage.
We're not thinking about the sport, or we're not thinking about mixing martial arts. I'm thinking about beating your ass, period.
Which I was a little concerned before that maybe that would get in her way of her being too emotional.
Sometimes, what a person like Ronda Rousey, as we've learned, and I wouldn't say I'm the biggest Ronda Rousey fan. You know, I'm a fan of winners, and she's a winner. With her type of mentality and the brain that she has that we've seen on display, she does a very good job of being in control of her emotions. You know, with competing for all your life, like Murphy was saying, you have to be in control of some of that stuff as you grow and as you get into bigger sceneries and bigger stages. Because if you're on a big stage and you start to fold, then you know better than, you know, someone who can't perform physically. You
right.
know what I mean? If someone with a broke leg, if you're mentally broke, it's the same damn thing.
Yeah, no, it was unbelievable. I was a little concerned. Also, I was concerned about the, you know, Roddy Piper, which, by the way, my father met with Roddy Piper on Wednesday.
Oh,
he passed away on Friday. My dad had a meeting with Roddy Piper about managing him because he's looking for a manager. My dad was going to meet with him. My dad left saying, this is the nicest guy. I met Roddy Piper. I did a show with him at the Improv. It was like I was doing a fundraiser for my wrestling movie. He was a wrestler. He got on the show. I was so happy.
That's awesome.
I loved Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that my other friend, who my friend Randy, he went to his benefit, who had brain cancer, the Pally coach. I think you were there. He was a friend of mine. Remember Randy?
Yeah.
He passed away. And I was doing a fundraiser for Randy and Piper. I called Piper and he's like, hey man, I'm out of the country. Can I Skype something in? What can I do to help this guy? And that's the part of person nice that Roddy Piper was, man. And I was that was a huge loss. He also a black belt under Gene LaBelle. I mean, jiu-jitsu guy. His son, guy's got four kids, one in college. But Roddy, my dad said, though, he looked like his hands were trembling a little bit during the meeting. Like, he looked like he was not in the best shape of his life. Far as, you know, so it was sad. Because he couldn't have been a nicer guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's been hanging around the comedy community for a little while now.
Yeah.
Last couple of years. Kind of dabbling with comedy, getting on stage, doing, you know, his sort of, you know, doing his version of stand-up.
Such a good dude.
But because he had so many fans in the, not just like the audience people, other comedians. Like the comedians, so many of them were like, oh my God, Roddy Piper's here, you know. And he took pictures with every single guy, every single time.
Such a good
every
dude.
Every comedian, every audience member. Remember, he never was like in a hurry to leave. He was always hanging and not like, hey, look at me, I'm Roddy Piper. Like just hanging out, wanting to be part of the community and be cool with everybody. And it was really a remarkable thing. He was a very cool guy to have around.
So that's a very sad rest in peace, Roddy Piper. I was super happy for Ronda Rousey. Now, while she was right after her fight, here come the tweets. It was thinking about Ronda Rousey, which is cool. It was like I was actually in St. Louis. I'm at 6 o'clock in the morning taking a flight back. People in front of me like, yo, see the Ronda Rousey fight last night? Yo, Ronda Rousey. Like she creates this buzz that people who aren't MMA fans, like Kobe tweeted out. Yeah. Reggie Bush tweeted out.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody now wants to.
The dude downstairs when I was coming up was like, yeah, here for the Adam Hunter show. He's like, oh yeah, you're a fighter? I'm like, yeah. He's like, yo, you see that Ronda Rousey fight? you ain't said one word to me. I've been coming in here for weeks now. First thing you say to me that's actual conversation is, did I see the Ronda Rousey fight? Well, of course I saw the Ronda Rousey fight. Talking about
So right after Ronda wins, all of a sudden Cyborg tweets, good for Honda. Because like, I guess in Brazil they don't play the R, Honda.
Oh, right.
You know, my next fight is at 140. Then I hope we get a chance to give fans the WMMA fight, the most violent fight in the history. First of all, Cyborg, I love you, but make 140 first. You've been saying you're going to make 135 for 3 or 4 years now.
She's big.
You've been weighing in and posting pictures of you on a scale at 175. I don't think she can make this weight. Dana says she makes the weight to make the fight tomorrow, but I don't think she can make the weight.
Yeah.
I think she's too big.
She is big, man. Actually, Tito flew me out here to do a camp with Cyborg for about 2-3 weeks, and man, she at the time she was the same size as I was, you know, and I was fighting at 55 at the time, and you know, I would say she's one of the most jacked women in the world that isn't a bodybuilder, you know what I mean?
Who wins that fight at 135? Ronda, she's been too sucked out, right?
Man, Ronda's always proving me wrong, but just proving like she's growing. You know, she doesn't just stick to what her throws are and stuff like that. You know, she's at every fight she evolves. Every fight she looks different. Every fight she looks better. So, 4 fights ago, I'd have been like, Cyborg gonna bust that ass. After this last weekend, I'm like, that gap's getting close. But as of right now, because we can't say that's gonna happen,
yeah.
I just think Cyborg's too big for it.
Yeah,
and she throws, she punches, she hits like a dude. You know, she's a beast. But Ronda's the champ, so you can't count her out. But I can't call it. I can't call it.
So then Cody No Love tweets out, face down, ass up.
That was bad. Yeah. She went straight down for it. Her face hit the canvas so
dude,
hard.
People kept
she
tweeting
was out
me.
Cold.
I even wrote that Bill Cosby's jealous of how fast Ron got 1,000 retweets. I was
nice.
So happy.
That's great. That's a good one.
People were making all kinds of look. If someone gets knocked out, I don't like putting the funny memes up because I still like. It's sort of like kicking the person when they're down a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to happen to everybody. I mean, it happens to everyone. Once, whether you get knocked out or choked out, it's going to happen to everyone where you're, sometimes you're that tough where you're just like, I'm not going to tap until he puts me to sleep. And then you go to sleep, and then you got all kinds of pictures of you and shit.
Is there pictures of you?
Yeah, there's pictures of me going to sleep. And, you know, I look cozy in my nap. All I'm going to say. I look like I was dreaming of a very nice thing.
Let's be honest, Baba Jenkins. What's up? When you see these pictures of you going to sleep on the canvas, were you pissed?
No, and sometimes I was pissed. Like Cub was saying last week, it's like you're talking about, you know, my next fight's going to be this, and they're like, is that after you went to sleep against Jordan? I'm like, that's when it pisses me off, and when they're just randomly send me pictures of it, it's like, I've seen it, trust me. I've seen the fight, I've watched it a couple times, I went to the Google, and I Googled him and myself to see how bad the pictures have gotten, and sometimes it's like, oh, okay, that, like I said, I look cozy, I look cozy. But then there's sometimes
you can Photoshop it real nicely into a hammock.
I can put a pillow
a
under
nice
that
drink,
bitch, a little cover, a little snuggie,
a little
I'm good. But then there's sometimes where it's just like, you know,
someone do that post on
random as hell, and it's just like, it don't piss me off, it's just kind of annoying. It's not like, oh man, you got me out here in the streets when I'm getting knocked up. No, it's not how it is. It's just like annoying. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Where you gotta go find pictures of me and then send them to me? And then,
that's
like,
what
I ain't
they're
seen
doing
it.
With you their life.
Their entire life.
Like, their life is just going around shoving shit in people's faces. Oh yeah, what about that? Oh yeah, what about that?
It's unbelievable. And then Shayna Baszler, who Betch beat and beat really bad, she writes, yes, you fucking bitch. Fuck you. Now come back and let Jessamyn and myself get our redemption. Don't fuck with family. I don't really understand that. Look, I mean, Shayna, I love you, but I mean, you're not in the UFC anymore. You know, she got cut from the UFC.
Yeah.
She is a legend. She's a legend. She's a female ambassador to the sport. But
sure, she isn't a spearhead?
She's not a spearhead, but at the same time, it's like, you know, the girl beat you, and it's like, let Ronda. It's not really about you,
right?
You know?
She tried to make it about her.
It's about Ronda.
Like, it was somehow her victory too.
Yeah,
like, ha, we got you, bitch. Yeah, you still got beat. You're not in the sidecar up there. Like, she's acting like their master blaster, and she's on Ronda's shoulder. Got you, bitch. We got you, bitch.
Got you.
Who runs UFC? Master Blaster.
And then Misha Tate writes, guaranteed she won't do that to me. I'm coming for gold. Now, she's the only one who should be
writing. 3 rounds.
She's the one. Well, she's actually fighting her next.
Yeah.
So that's going to hype the fight. I understand that. I mean, that's, she's, but at the same time, she did lose twice to her already. I don't know.
It.
But she looked good her last fight, though.
Yeah.
She did look good her last fight, Misha Tate, against Jessica Eye.
Well, she's the only one that can last longer than 30 seconds, apparently. I mean,
I'm telling you, I know people are going to think I'm fucking crazy, but I think that Holly Holm has the best chance of lasting with Ronda Rousey.
What organization was Holly Holm in before she came over to UFC?
She's in the RFA or something. What?
It's an intergalactic starfleet.
Intergalactic star.
I saw Holly Holmes in her previous stint before UFC. And this is when Ronda was still knocking everybody out in 12 seconds or whatever. And I said to my wife at the time, and my wife's a really good talent. What is it? Evaluate. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the word. That's that. It's the education I got. But she was a really good talent evaluator, and you know, she was saying that girl's tough. And I'm like, you know what? The style of fighter that Holly Holmes is, you know, that I don't know how to say it, but it's fluid. She's got very good stuff. I mean, you can tell that her technique is sharp. She knows when
she's
to go.
She's the preacher's daughter.
The timing is right.
Yeah, the preacher's daughter. Yeah,
the timing is right. The punches are crisp. They're at the end. Like, she knows exactly what she's doing with everything on her feet. And I was like, that is the type of girl that can beat Ronda Rousey. And I was saying this, let's say two years ago, 3 years ago.
I don't know
ago.
If she can beat her, but she can definitely give her problems because, like you said, if she just sticks away and does not,
if she's not gonna rush. She's gonna move
footwork,
back.
Footwork. This girl is a world champion.
But what's her ground game like? Because I haven't really seen. I've seen her stand there and knock.
We don't know.
Out,
we don't.
Right.
No, she's not knocked out. But she hasn't. She's knocked out people with her feet. She's got good kicks.
But that's
she
what
wins.
I'm like,
she wins very
don't kick Ronda.
She wins very ugly fights.
A lot of people don't. Kick
I like it because she key ops, and you don't see that a lot in MMA. But she does. She
what
does
do
a lot. She'll go, yeah!
Yeah, she does that.
She key-ops like all the time, which is a traditional karate, taekwondo
kind of thing.
But she does it, and I'm always like, well, there's your martial arts background right there.
So Saturday night was a really exciting fight, not only because of the Ronda fight, but right before the Ronda fight, right? There was a fucking brawl. Did you see this brawl that occurred?
In the crowd?
In the World Series of Fighting between the Diaz brothers and Khabib. I can't believe you didn't see this.
No, I was watching the World Series of Fighting fights, but I ain't see no crowd brawls.
So here's what happened. So because people have been recording it on their phone. There was like, so right before the Paul Harris, Jake Shields fight, right? The Diaz brothers are there because Jake Shields is their boy. They train over at, in like Stockton. So the Diaz brothers are there. Gilbert's there. And Khabib is there. Khabib, the guy who didn't come to our podcast last week.
The guy we were supposed to talk to.
Yeah, Khabib.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, Khabib has been saying stuff about the Diaz brothers, calling them idiots and this and that. They don't like Khabib. So Khabib is there with his posse from Dagestan, which are very, very scary individuals.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You don't
like bomb makers and
you don't want to
guerrilla warriors.
So all of a sudden I'm on Twitter, I'm watching the fight, I go, a brawl just erupted between Khabib and the Diaz brothers. I go, there's no way. So they're in the crowd in like this pit, and you see fucking somebody come over and try to throw a punch at Khabib. Khabib's punching back. Nick Diaz is throwing a drink at Khabib. Ray Sefo is yoking somebody up. Ali Abdulaziz, the promoter, is getting this shit is going, people going fucking crazy. Meanwhile, they're announcing, next up at 155. it's going insane, crazy. Right? So then
I'm surprised this doesn't happen more. To be perfectly honest, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more.
I'm going to my Twitter feed, and as people are updating it, the Diaz brothers are then challenging Khabib to a fight in the parking lot. They're begging him to go to the parking lot, which I don't even know if the Hard Rock even has a parking. I think you have to valet. I guess you have to. It's a big parking lot.
Meet us by exit D, gate 44.
I've lost my car at the Hard Rock. I don't even know. Especially the guy. But then the fight spills out. So it goes out. Outside the Hard Rock.
Two Mexicans equals a bear.
Outside the Hard Rock.
That's what they say, so you better watch it.
So then outside the Hard Rock, they're going more, and people are going crazy. I mean, if you look up, if you Google it, there's 15 Russians from Dagestan punching, then the Stockton guys, and then there's a video of Nate Diaz, like, Khabib is he says the N-word, he's you're a bitch ass, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's fucking insane. So now that's what's going on.
So they're getting it on in the parking lot. That's what's up, though.
Well, it wasn't the parking lot, it was in the actual Hard Rock. Right. So then the fight happens between Jake Shields and Paul Harris, right?
Another brawl should broke out.
Around to see.
Well, people are watching this, it was even worse. So Jake Shields is dominating Paul Harris two rounds, right?
Yeah.
But he's in mount.
He was beating him up. I mean, I wouldn't say that he was doing the greatest of ground and pound, but he was, until he got tapped, man, he was winning.
Well, he was getting his eye raked. His eye was raked
I got my ways. I got my feelings about that fight, but go ahead.
So his eye is raked like eight times. Completely raked out. Finally, Jake takes him out. And Paul Harris is so talented. He's a guy, Paul Harris,
who got
kicked out of the UFC for doing leg locks and like not letting go. like
after
five,
they would tap and he
like six times in a row.
So
he gets him in a Kimura.
He's got those sweet thighs.
So he gets him in a Kimura this time, which was a beautiful Kimura.
Deep.
Jake taps like seven times. Steve Mazzagatti's like in the fucking parking lot.
He comes
back in. Finally, Jake then punches him, and then the fight's over. But
with the arm that he's got armbarred, he got almost ripped off. He punches him.
Saying Paul Harris may lose his title. I mean, here's a guy who is probably one of the most talented guys in MMA, Paul Harris, who just can't get it together. He doesn't realize
he's a dirty fighter. There's no question about it. And I saw a tweet from him. Or somebody reposted it because obviously it wasn't in the best of English. But he said, I'm not a dirty fighter. and you are the definition of a dirty fighter.
Yeah.
The eye gouging. I'm pretty sure if it wasn't for the cups, there'd be some ball grabbing in there. You know, he's pulling out all stops as if we're in the streets. There's a difference between fighting in the streets, and I know because I'm 23-0 in the streets. Holla at me. But there's a difference. There's a difference of fighting.
Are
in
you
the
23-0 street. In the streets?
Yeah, I'm 23-0.
You actually counted.
I love that you kept track.
So you damn right, I kept track in my neighborhood, dog. That's all you got. Is rep.
Yeah, yeah.
That's number 9, son. See me at number 10. That was number 22. Wait till I get to 23. You know, but no, you got
this is in Virginia?
Yeah, in Virginia. Okay. I mean, I had some fights in Indiana, but you know, I just kept all the counts of my fights in my life. You know what I mean? Everybody knows. I mean, I think everyone knows how many fights they've been in. I mean, I know I've been in 23 street fights. No referee. And some of those were brawls, you know. So, but nonetheless, it's a difference. You know, there's a certain mode of survival when you're fighting in the streets, when you're trying to win that fight. And then there's a certain sportsmanship about being a mixed martial artist. There's a certain hone about yourself that you're like, you're not going to do whatever it takes. Because there's rules, regulations, and limits to what you can do. If we're fighting in the streets, it's all, I'll kick you in your face after I knock you out, because that is the point of we're fighting. You did something. We're on it. In a fight in the cage, it's much more regulated. It's a sportsmanship about it. There are two men trying to achieve the same goal with a referee there to make sure everything is fair. That's why the referee's there, so no one gets hurt and it's fair. And he constantly, on many different occasions, takes it past that line with the eye gouging, with the guy tapping. You have received your victory. Now be done with it. And to still grab that extra edge or that extra couple seconds of wanting to rip the guy's arm out. Somebody does that to me where you can almost break my arm, I'm going to see you in the parking lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We are past your victory. You got that win. Congratulations. I tapped. Now you try to hurt me for my career, for my later fights. I am going to be outside of your locker room. I will be in the parking lot waiting for that ass, and I will not be by myself, nor will I be... what is it?
Unarmed?
Unarmed. You said it. You said it. You know what I mean?
Have you ever owned a gun before?
Yeah, I own guns. Yeah, I believe
legally
in,
or no?
Yeah, yeah. I mean... You know, I ain't gonna have my name on it like, ah, bang, 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 come find me, bitch. You know what I mean? Like, let me put the gun down so y'all can know whose it is.
Card.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But, you know, I got a family now, so, you know, I gotta protect the squad. But, you know, and I wouldn't say my neighborhood was the greatest coming up, but everyone has that similar story. But we're not going to go on me. We're going to go on the situation. If I was Jake Shields, I would be outside waiting for him. Period. No questions about it, because it goes past the spot of sportsmanship.
Now, I mean, what happened? So then Khabib then, by the way, so that I totally understand what you're saying. I don't think Jake Shields is, at that point, I'm just like, get away from this guy. He's probably going to get the title back. I think that this guy is just mentally...
screwed.
He's just mentally
unstable. Like, he honestly just does not. He gets into a certain mode of like fight mode,
right?
Where he gets really scared, and he's fighting for his life, and he does not know how to handle being in this environment. Like you said, he's not an athlete, or he's never played a sport, but this is a way different type of fight for him. Like mm-hmm. just like you said. Now, regarding the brawl. So Khabib then tweets out, hey, I was attacked by the Diaz brothers. I am a pro fighter. I'm not a street fighter. And then he tags Dana White and the Fertitta brothers. So then everyone calls him a snitch. And
he over here telling? Yeah. Aw, hell yeah, that's snitching. Hey, man, these guys attacked me, bro. He's like, yo, come on, Dana, do something, man. That's that bullshit.
Well, he probably, though... In his defense, I'm sure someone told him to do this. He's up next for the title.
You got a publicist. You got a good publicist.
He beat Dos Anjos. The Diaz brothers, I don't even know if they even want to come back and fight anymore.
Yeah.
It seems like, I don't understand. I'm a big Diaz brothers fan. But look, you guys are offered like $100,000 to fight. Maybe even more. Maybe $50,000, maybe whatever. A lot of money to fight.
Yeah.
Why are you going to go fight in the crowd at the World Series of Fighting for
you
free?
Take the boy out of Stockton. Take the Stockton out of the boy.
Seriously, like, what do you have to gain from that? I mean, right?
But As I've seen the Diaz brothers over the years, they're not about the money. You know, they've never really been about the money. They've never really been about nothing. They don't care about nothing. You know what I mean? They don't give two shits about anything else. You know, they are themselves. They yeah. rep each other. They like love each other. They like to scrap. They about that life. About just, you know, it's almost like there's some guys that have all the talent and they make it to the NFL and then they're still in the streets. They're still selling weed.
Right.
You know, they have that kind of street mentality where it's just like, you know what? I know that I'm talented. I know I have all this over here, but I love this life. And I'm not going to say it's like that for them, but it's a very similar quality of like you have everything to gain and you still do different things or you're not about the money. It's just weird. But there's some people that are like that, man.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. I tweeted out that they should have the Ultimate Fighter Stockton versus Dagestan. tell me you wouldn't watch that.
Damn right. It'd be the first Ultimate Fighter where they used pipes.
What are the coaches?
They would just be throwing weapons, random things into the ring.
Challenges to steal a car.
Exactly.
Like, to rob a bank.
Wants to build a bomb and actually set it off. Like you gotta blow this.
Stockton's gonna lose that one.
Yeah, I'm talking about the bomb building part.
They'll win the pipe wielding event.
Yeah,
the pipe brawl. Stockton's gonna win that one.
The bomb building. The Diaz brothers would be like, "What the fuck is this? I'm not building that fucking bomb.
I'll make a bong for your ass, but I ain't gonna build no bomb."
It'll be the only Ultimate Fighter where the winner is the actual only survivor.
Well, tell me you wouldn't watch it.
I'd watch it.
It every week. You have Khabib and these random guys from Dagestan against the Diaz brothers.
Yeah, every year, they get eliminated from the planet.
Yeah.
Not just the show. They die. You die on Ultimate Fighter. Dagestan.
Honestly, if I'm Dana White, because Dana White, people are saying, why don't they just get rid of the Diaz brothers, have them go to Bellator? You know, enough is enough. But if I'm Dana White, I'm saying, like, using this as an opportunity to sell tickets. Like,
these guys are fighters. But also, don't be, like I keep saying, don't be surprised when a fighter acts like a fighter.
Yeah.
Yes and no. I mean, look, you're a national champion wrestler.
Yeah, and okay. If I'm in the bar, I will double egg the shit out somebody.
Now?
No.
No, he's got kids.
If I had the mentality of a Diaz brother,
right,
I would not be afraid to act like myself, because they are not. Now, I said no quickly to that answer. If I'm in the bar and something goes astray and I have to protect myself, I'm double-egging you. Yes, right now, today, being a Bellator fighter, I will double-egg you in the bar. You know, if I have to protect myself, I'm fighting, somebody grabs my girl ass, it's on, type of thing. Yeah. But I don't just, you know, I don't just go looking for fights. I'm not that type of guy.
Of course. But the thing is, Nick Diaz is going to jail for a couple days now for a DUI. And eventually, these guys are going to hit the wrong guy. And it's, I'm not saying they're going to get beat up, but they're going to go to jail and they're going to get in a lot of trouble and, you know, and then money's going to be an issue. And it's so preventable. It's such bullshit. I mean, these guys, they've won the lottery as far as like they made it out of their situation. They're getting paid to fight. They're professional fighters. They have fans. Everybody loves them. Not everybody, but they're loved or hated. Mm-hmm. I personally love them.
Well, and
But eventually, this is not going to, this story, we've seen this story before. Is this going to end well? I mean, do you really think when these guys aren't being paid anymore?
You're saying they're the Mitch Green of MMA?
I'm just saying, like, we've seen this story before with athletes where guys are doing well when they're being paid, but now all of a sudden you take away the professional things. Do you really think when these guys have no discipline and nobody telling them what to do, which they don't right now anyway, how do you think this is going to end?
No, yeah, they're definitely going to be one of those 30 for 30s.
Yeah.
Where are they now? You know?
420 for 420. But yes, absolutely. And it's just like, honestly, like on it, like being big brothered right now would probably be a good thing. Someone to reach out to them and say, listen, guys, you know, Because it was two different spectrums. On one hand, you had Ronda Rousey winning in 38 seconds, thanking Roddy Piper and her father in heaven, looking down at her. It was a beautiful thing. Joe Rogan's crying. My dad's watching it. Little girls are watching
it. Joe Rogan's crying.
People are saying how great this is. Yeah, then you turn the station. Turn the station. You just see a massive brawl in the fucking Hard Rock.
A guy tapping out, still getting his arm broken.
You're like, come on. Guys, I get it. It's exciting. Don't think that I wasn't up all night looking at more videos of the Diaz brothers fighting. I was watching this shit going, this is fucking insane. But at the same time, as a friend and as a fan.
Did it in today's day help MMA?
Did that brawl help MMA? No, absolutely not. It might have helped the World Series of Fighting because no one was talking about them until this happened. So maybe it helped them. Because people were not tuning into that, and they should. You got Mike Kyle on the card. You had that other kid. You had
Marilyn
Monroe. I mean, you had good fighters on that card. Man.
Does it make it harder for casinos now to host these fights with this kind of danger?
No, hell no.
Well, I mean, you're putting your patrons at risk here.
Casinos about that life.
You know what? It just doesn't help. It doesn't help if you're in the
casino. A lot of boxing matches have fights in the crowd. A lot of them.
Yeah, of course.
That's the same thing.
It doesn't help if you're in the casino hanging out and you see these fucking, you know, Russian gangsters fighting with the Diaz brothers. And you're like,
and you start betting on it.
And then you
I got 40 on the Russians. I got 40 on the I'll take that 40. And then give me that action.
And then you go, what the fuck's going on? And you go, oh, there was an MMA event. And I guarantee they're not saying that. They're going, it was a UFC event. Because they're not even saying MMA. They're saying UFC because that's what people think as far as MMA. Yeah, they go UFC. Right. So it's not helping. It's not helping anyone.
It's like Coca-Cola.
But it's entertaining. Give us something to talk about.
Someone from the sports book ran outside and set up a booth and started setting.
Tip of Fighter was all on that.
Started setting odds.
It's funny. I said, who would you like to tip? And then someone goes, I want to tip Nick Diaz for serving Khabib a drink.
Yeah, and the tips can come in that way. You ain't got to be fighting in the cage for you to get tipped. You know?
Hey, that's what's going to keep the Diaz brothers off 30 for 30. People are going to keep tipping them.
Tip of Fighter.
So anyway,
their old age.
That's our podcast.
Yeah, save the DS lives. Tipofighter.com.
We have another podcast coming up on Thursday. So I want to thank our sponsors, American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com, the best sign collectibles, great people. Talk to Sean. He is the man. AIASE.com. They are the shit. If you want to have that, by the way, all those free giveaways I've been giving out all week for the jokes, that's them. AIASE.com. Also, Tip a Fighter, like we just talked about. Okay, these guys are underpaid, especially some of these guys in the World Series of Fighting and some of these guys in Legacy or Titan FC or even in the UFC or Bellator. Well, they need to make more money. And the more money they can make, the more money they can put in the training, the better fights that they're going to be.
That's
so
true.
Tipofighter.com.
Get them out of their part-time jobs. Get them back in the gym.
Also, Remove It Restoration. Has your business been vandalized? Have gang members tagged it up? Okay? No one wants to go into a store.
23-0, bitches!
Exactly.
That's on the side of your...
Go to removeitrestoration.com, 1-888-424-9697. I will be at Calgary at the Comedy Cave all weekend, Tuesday through Sunday. Comedy Cave in Calgary, Canada. Only $10 for tickets. $10. Tip a comedian. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much, and have a great week.